man has ravaged the earth. He has led it to the edge of an abyss. Now, he wants to create a new world, a world according to his will. About gene manipulation, from Universelle's Leben, via Medium Gabrielle. Given 1996. Will gene manipulation bring help to those who are sick, to our troubled and ravaged kingdom of nature and to our entire planet? Is genetic engineering the chance and opportunity, a rescue and way out for a mankind that has fallen into dire straits? Or is genetic engineering an interference in our physical genetic makeup, a with immeasurable, catastrophic consequences for the individual and for all of humanity? Is gene manipulation that step too far along the wrong road where we want to be like God, the step which signals our fall into the abyss? The message of this book is, genetic engineering is an interference in our genetic makeup which blocks our spiritual heritage. Next headline is, what are genes? Before we pursue the answers to the questions raised above, let us first explain what genes are. Genes carry the hereditary information for all cells, with an exception found in the nucleus-free red blood corpuscle. Genes are found in the nucleus of the cell, in the so-called chromosomes. A human being has 46 chromosomes which contain all the genetic material of a person. This encoded hereditary information consists of the same chemical substance for all humans, animals and plants, deoxyribonucleic acid, in short, DNA. The DNA molecule in a cell, as a biochemical model, looks like a gigantic twisted rope ladder made up of four types of linking members. A gene consists of several thousand linking members. Their arrangement determines the genetic information contained in them, similar to the arrangement of letters in a text which gives a specific meaning to the information. Next headline is, the brain, the control center of the body. And so, four different bases form the building blocks of our hereditary information. A comparison may explain this better. From these four letters, words can be formed which, joined together, can make a sentence. This sentence then corresponds to the genetic information, the gene, which is a part of the chromosome. Human beings have 3 billion pieces of information, that is, 3 billion of these base pairs. Our 46 human chromosomes contain about 80,000 to 100,000 genes which contain the 3 billion individual pieces of information. Nearly every human cell carries the sum total of all the genetic material, referred to as genome by scientists. The information in the genes A stimulated and activated by impulses A triggers certain processes and functions in the human body. Thus, the information in the genes controls all life processes. This takes place through the synthesis of proteins which carry out these signals. The brain is the central control unit of our body. The impulses from the brain influence the genes and can release in the genes exactly that information that corresponds to the impulse. Viewed superficially and purely mechanically, it looks as though our brain, our thinking, is the highest authority in us which determines everything, because it is our thinking that controls the genes, and the genes in turn control all the metabolic processes in our bodies. However, our brain is not self-activating, the brain cells are not of themselves able to take action or to be alive. At the latest, this becomes apparent when the body dies and the soul departs, and its material, physical shell A including all the brain cells A decomposes into the components from which it was originally made. In the living body, cells are more than the sum total of the material substance from which they are made. They are living building blocks and have a consciousness, which is also stored in the soul of the person of whom they are a part. Life is non-material and comes from our soul. Thus, the impulses for our brain come from our soul. These soul impulses are then radiated from the brain into the body and bring about the processes which constitute our physical life. The new science of psychoneuroendocrine immunology studies the communication between the psyche, the nervous system, the hormone system and the body's immune system. Much has already been discovered and so these correlations are finding more and more acceptance. And yet, One is satisfied with giving rise to the expression psyche, which ignores the soul, thus never questioning further. Next headline is, programs are information and experience. The processes operating between soul and body are complex. It is not only the impulses from the brain which regulate the processes in the body, but the processes in the body, for instance the activity of the sensory organs, cause in turn an imprinting of the brain, a programming. These are the feedback loops. Programs are information stored in our memory bank that came from certain experiences. They are formed by sending and receiving and at the same time as an energy complex, as an energetic matrix are transmitters and receivers. There are programs which enable us to live on this earth, the programs of speech, the use of the sensory organs, programs of locomotion, of motor functions, such as grasping with the hands, and much more. This is the operating system of the computer man, and we are not able to live without it. Even the base human ego is composed of programs. There are, for example, programs of power hunger, of defensiveness, of aggression, programs of possessiveness, of wanting to be and to have, of deception, of showing off, pessimism, vanity and so on. There is a program behind every expression of human life. A newborn child takes in information through its eyes, ears, nose, mouth and touch. Such information together with the child's own reactions and experiences of that event are stored as programs in the brain. In the brain we differentiate between the consciousness and the subconscious. Whatever is stored in these can enter the soul after a certain time. Next headline is, the answers and solutions lie in the application of the spiritual laws, not in the human intellect. And so, programs are stored information of specific content. Such an energy complex, which we call a program, does not become active in and of itself, it needs an impulse in order to become active, to be able to communicate or become effective. Where does this impulse come from? With this question we are beyond the limits of where science, as we know it, can give an answer. We are in the gray zone between spirit and matter. There have been civilizations on earth in which mankind was still viewed as a tri-unit of spirit, soul and body. Such a philosophy was not oriented towards the world, but towards the cosmos. This is why there were answers then, whereas with today's science we are simply left with a question mark. The riddles and apparent mysteries arise because we take no notice of the metaphysical, cosmic aspects of phenomena and affairs and ignore the spiritual correlations and laws which operate in and behind material conditions. The spiritual ignorance which grew out of the disregard for life, out of arrogance towards God as creator and mover in all being, out of ignoring his commandments is ultimately the reason why the progress of the history of mankind so clearly comes to a dead end. For about 20 years mankind has again been receiving knowledge of the spiritual principles and laws through the prophetic word. In their essence, the spiritual laws have been known for thousands of years. Today they are now being expanded upon and deepened through the prophetic word of the Spirit of God. If churches, science, politics and society had taken the chance to change their ways, then the cosmic dimension in the thinking and living of everyone would have become visible and effective for the good of mankind, for the good of all the nature kingdoms and our planet. Since the majority of mankind did not take the path of truth but kept to paths of error, of materialistic thinking, the events of the world now take their course. What was announced thousands of years ago for the end time of the materialistic era of humanity is beginning to happen. This book takes into account the spiritual correlations and laws which are now being revealed by the Spirit of God. Here we find the answers which we seek in vain through science. The solutions to all the puzzles are here, as well as the way out of this dilemma which the arrogance of the human intellect has brought us. Next headline is, multiple storing of human programs. Every gene is transmitter and receiver. Every program is stored in more than one place in a person, in his brain and in his soul garments. But that is not all. We are the microcosm in the macrocosm. This means what is stored in us is also stored in the macrocosm, in the stars and planets of the material cosmos as well as in the purification planes of the souls. And so, the following process takes place. What is stored in the brain cells goes into the soul. The soul then stores it in the material planets A, the visible stars A, as well as in the fine material planets, which store the spiritual information, and which thus far we have neither seen nor grasped by means of science. From the macrocosm A, the material and fine material planets A, this information, the impulse, radiates back into the soul and the brain of the person at the appropriate time, setting effects into motion in and on the person, which become noticeable in the course of his lifetime, of his destiny. According to the law, what you sow you will reap. The result is that you harvest what you have previously sown. Additional recordings take place in our genes, in the cells of our body. The DNA, that twisted ladder, is a molecule which is a transmitter and receiver of wavelengths. This has already been proven scientifically. In its structure, the DNA molecule can simply be compared to the ferrite antenna of a radio. In other words, the gene is not only a precisely and finely constructed material structure with a specific function, but this molecule can also receive and emit vibrations. This means that it sends and receives, each time on its own particular frequency. This antenna, the gene, is not only capable of receiving spiritual and mental impulses, but also all types of radiations from the cosmos which have an effect on the person, that is, radiations from the stars as well as planets and radiations originating here on Earth. Since each gene is a transmitter and receiver, this makes the entire person a transmitter and, at the same time, a receiver tuned to very specific frequencies by way of his programs. Next headline is, the natural order is the divine order. The genetic material of human beings and of all forms of life in nature has always reacted in a natural way because it was not altered, with the exception of those changes which occurred in the course of evolution. Nature did not come about by chance. God allowed the earth and thus nature, too, to emerge as the material foundation of life for his fallen children. The natural order is therefore a part of the law of cause and effect, which applies to the four worlds. This means that a person, who is like an antenna and transmitter A as well as his parts, including his genes A, takes in radiations, that is, information, like a radio. This information is transformed into chemical and biophysical programs which then cause the metabolic processes of the body to operate. On the other hand, the human body and its parts emit into the environment and into the stars, too. The DNA is a key part in this process because it is the regulator of the metabolic process, and an interaction takes place between the DNA and the brain as well as between the DNA and all metabolic processes. There is a natural order in all forms of life. This order ensures that metabolic processes A in animals and plants, down to the smallest life form, for instance fungi, as well as in man A function according to certain rules. This results in a dynamic balance. If these feedback loops are disturbed, then the consequences for life are unforeseeable. Many factors can disturb these feedback loops. Of particular severity is the interference of man in the genes, which thanks to genetic engineering presents no technical problems. There are many well-known physicians and scientists who view the natural order as a divine order. By maintaining this divine order, in which everything is wonderfully and finely balanced and interconnected in reciprocal giving and taking, life functions smoothly. Max Planck, for example, concluded that this did not happen by mere chance, but that there had to be a higher intelligence behind this, which controls this life and which is greater than our human consciousness. If the natural order is the order that God intended for this earth, it certainly would not be the divine powers that would disturb this natural structure. It is God's adversary, the demonic forces, which interfere in these feedback loops, which disturb this interaction and bring disorder into the natural order of things. The Bible says, "You shall know them by their fruits." The fruits are visible to everyone by simply looking at the condition of this world. Until now, all experiments to improve on nature have led to the opposite, to a worsening of conditions. We cannot expect it to be otherwise, for man is not capable of thinking in a multi-dimensional, integrating way. In particular, scientists tend to focus on their own limited specialty. Their thinking travels along intellectual pathways, the intuition to grasp interrelationships and a sensitivity to the dangers are not very well developed as a rule. Next headline is, the development of molecular genetics and genetic engineering. It all started with Gregor Mendel, a monk who over 100 years ago discovered the laws of heredity which placed breeding and crossbreeding onto a scientific footing. The next great feat was the description of DNA by Watson and Crick in 1949. This discovery had little effect for several decades, except to describe the location of hereditary diseases in the genome as a diagnostic refinement. Interference and alteration became possible only with the help of a new biotechnology, genetic engineering. With the advancements made in the biosciences, the first experiments in genetic engineering became possible during the 1970s. Genetic engineering is the deliberate and calculated alteration of the genetic makeup of a living being, by way of the targeted manipulation of a genetic substance, in order to alter living beings according to human conceptions. This technology has grown to such an extent and is continuously under further development that it is now a major force of the biosciences, including medicine. By using this method, biotechnical alterations in the genetic makeup of all living beings can increasingly be planned and calculated. Thus, the genetic makeup of all living forms of life is now accessible to manipulation by whomever wants to do so. Mankind has always had an interest in altering the life forms of nature on Earth in such a way that they would be more serviceable, apparently to make life easier. For 20 years now, this has become possible and achievable in a measure never before available. Science now builds on a broad basis other components of a new nature, a new world. It may be that within a few years there will be no sphere of life where gene-altered products have not been introduced, and almost every citizen of the Earth will have come in contact with such products. This development is progressing stealthily, that is, without much fuss, but certainly not slowly. Before mankind could really become aware of what was happening and before the results became visible, the manipulation of genes had already taken on a dimension that is frightening, for it is already out of control. But the objections to gene manipulation and discussions about it have been reckoned with as well as their abatement. Judging from past experience, mankind adjusts very quickly to what was formerly unthinkable, particularly when the manipulation of the media handles it in nearly perfect ways and the negative repercussions are hardly made visible to the individual. Next headline is, gene manipulation disregards deeper ethical and moral standards. We read and hear that science, with its most advanced methods, wants to work for the good of mankind. Through genetic engineering, diseases, for example, can be combated. Healthy or disease-resistant foods can be produced in order to alleviate hunger. Medicines can be created which are even more effective than what we have now, and much more. Genetic engineers, the molecular biologists, actually say, we want to improve on life. But what do they think life is? These scientists do not start from the premise that life comes from the soul. They are not aware that a soul exists. To them, the human being, in fact every living being, is, in the final analysis, only a machine, which can be improved upon that is, manipulated according to any and all human conceptions and ideas. God, the creator and giver of life, is not considered to be an essential factor at all in the natural sciences. For most genetic engineers, the more profound ethical, spiritual or religious points of view fall outside their sphere of observation. They view themselves as bioengineers. They look upon their activities as being similar to that of a mechanical engineer or an electronics engineer. They are concerned mainly with making it possible to achieve advantages for life on Earth, advantages which ultimately do not prove to be so. The actualization of the spiritual principles of equality, freedom, unity and brotherliness, from which justice emerges, characterizes a high order of ethics and morals, a we can also say, a spiritually higher civilization. Elements of these principles can indeed be found in the constitutions of most freedom-oriented democratic societies. Many people fought and died for these high ideals. For instance, during the American Revolution, which was followed by the Constitution, or during the French Revolution, where aristocracy and church lost their absolute power. Constitutions which are based upon these ideals, like the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Germany, also formally include the freedom of the individual, the respect for life, the dignity and self-determination of one's fellow man, and the respect for life in all its forms. These fundamental aspects of social interchange can be found in some form of meaning in almost all religions, cultural groups, and historic eras. They characterize a fundamental ethical and moral attitude, to which the human conscience apparently orients itself. This is not surprising, for the basic principles of equality, freedom, unity, brotherliness, and justice are also aspects of the absolute law of God. The Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount are excerpts from the absolute law, which also express reverence for God and respect for the freedom and life of one's fellow man, as well as respect for all creatures. Does gene manipulation take this respect into consideration? Since we are pure spirit beings in the innermost recesses of our soul, which belong to the spiritual realm of the pure being of heaven, this innermost, pure part of our soul affirms these basic principles of life. In the final analysis, the human being, who has become estranged from his original spiritual nature, longs for purity, beauty, peace, for a life in God. Our innermost being longs for the freedom which lies in the fulfillment of the divine will. The reader of this book can, in due course, judge for himself how he views genetic engineering, gene manipulation, and its consequences in relation to the preservation of the basic principles of life. A life in the law of God is a life as the child of God. When people think they can outdo God by wanting to improve on his creation, the natural order, doesn't this point to the limitations of their own consciousness? Even Christ, the first beheld Son of God, the co-regent of heaven, who walked on earth as Jesus of Nazareth, said, "The Father is greater than I." Most genetic scientists are probably not quite clear about what hidden aims they could serve with their research, activities, and projects. But on the basis of some of their statements, it is obvious that there are some genetic engineers and geneticists who want to deliberately change the creation of God. In their thoughts, they are putting themselves above God. Next headline is, "The old world is destroyed, new organisms and a new man shall be created." Since genetic engineering views its declared duty and aim as repairing that which in the course of centuries has been caused by the wrong behavior of the entire human race, the damage to nature, and all the abortive developments in biology, genetic engineers argue that they manufacture products for the good of mankind, which, for instance, would ensure life for mankind and bring about medical progress. But can one remedy a mistake by covering it up with another one? Shouldn't one start to work out the causes of the abortive developments of the last centuries? In medical terms, the symptoms are treated without making a causal diagnosis, without asking what led to the disturbances and the deplorable state of affairs in the first place. In those circles where essential information is readily available, among leading politicians, church leaders, economic management, high finance, and adherents of worldwide secret societies, there are no illusions as to the possibility of repairing the damage to our environment. Thus, it is not the repair of the damage that is at stake, but there is a definite desire to create something new. It has been recognized that life on Earth is irreparably damaged, poisoned, sick, devastated, and destroyed as it is, will soon disappear if organisms remain as they are. Genetic engineers conclude that new organisms must be created which are capable of coping with these changed conditions without becoming diseased and ill. In this way, plants, for instance, grain, will be so altered genetically that they can withstand the highest dosages of herbicides and pesticides, so that agribusiness can apply these poisons in greater measure. Dr. Frederick Buttel, a prominent rural sociologist at Cornell University, believes the companies intend to use biotechnology to develop markets for broad-spectrum herbicides that might otherwise not be used. Attempts at even tighter packaging of seeds and agrochemicals are expected, where the use of a particular crop variety and an agrochemical are mutually obligatory. In other words, farmers will not be able to buy the seed without the herbicide that accompanies it. Since the chemical companies now own nearly all of the seed companies in the US, the scenario is scarcely far-fetched. Indeed, they want to create a new world, a new earth with new plants, new animals, and then, as soon as it is possible, new human beings, too. Next headline is, the initiators of genetic research today are the rulers of the new world order of tomorrow? With the help of genetic engineering, one wants to build a new world, a his new world with his new order a on the ruins of our world. In the past we regularly heard the expression the new world order from the mouths of high-level government officials. How are we to interpret the new world order? And who is going to create it? There are two powers which can lay absolute claim to this, the USA and the Catholic Church. Are they in agreement with each other and have they divided the world between them? Or does the primacy of the Pope reign here, too, as in 1066 when the Caesar of the Roman German Empire had to go to the Pope Inconnesu and submit to him? The demons operate on the principle of always betting on two horses, this way they win even if one loses. Apparently the same political institution, which in the 1940s instigated the greatest atomic project in the USA, today stages and directs the greatest genetic engineering project ever. The United States Congress decided in 1988 to establish a gigantic genetic project, the Human Genome Project. This project had as its objective the conclusive decoding of all genetic material. Since no one in the world expends so much energy without the promise of great returns, questions are raised. Who is interested in decoding the whole genetic makeup of the human being? What do they want to achieve with this? Could it be possible that someone or some group is interested in using this whole genetic material for their own purposes and to manipulate it? The United States Congress which started this project is the same Congress whose president proclaimed the New World Order in 1991. This Congress was the one which decided in the 1960s to reach the moon and the stars. President Roosevelt and a small group of U.S. military and government officials initiated the Manhattan Project which led to the development of the atomic bomb in 1945. These three major projects were to guarantee the supremacy of man, specifically the supremacy of the USA over nature and life on Earth. Let's list the activities in their sequence: atomic bombs, atomic reactors, space travel, satellites, space stations, interstellar communication, nuclear fusion as a constant source of energy, particle and quantum accelerators. And now the decoding of the gene with the ensuing manipulation of the human genetic makeup. What is the final objective of all these projects and scientific activities? Is it simply scientific curiosity and a noble push for research? Does one really want to contribute to the benefit of mankind and to the well-being of our planet and its nature kingdoms? Who is served by this and for what purpose? The following quote may serve to answer these questions. The Apollo project had its own problems. An engineering exercise, it was about neither the inevitability of scientific advance nor the control of nature. Instead, it was about military advantage and commercialism, disguised as science and hyped as a peace mission. Of interest in this regard could be the fact that there is a relationship between setting the political course of events and visits to the Vatican by the politicians concerned. Presidents of many nations visit the Pope regularly for private audiences. Those who carefully study the public announcements of the Vatican A, for instance in L'Osservatore Romano A, will notice over the years that just prior to major political decisions, presidents of nations have always had a private audience with the Pope. What has been discussed in these audiences is not made public. One can only note that these meetings take place. Does the Vatican participate in all major movements on the stage of world events? Does the Vatican also have a stake in the purposes and results of genetic engineering and the New World Order?